Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. My name is Nick.
And my name is Michael.
And this is episode 6. We're going to be going over week 3 and our predictions going into week 4. So let's just kind of touch on this. The Jets beating the Patriots 24-3. Not really much to talk about.
Yeah, pretty routine. I mean, we finally saw what the Patriots will be. First couple of weeks, we really thought that maybe they won't be as bad as we thought, but they finally show their true colors, and the Jets here just get the job done, as expected, in my opinion. So, I mean, that game was just expected. You know, it wasn't the best, but yeah.
Yeah, and then going into the next game is the Giants beating the Browns 21-15. Now, I predicted that the Giants were not going to score a single point going into this week, and I was proven wrong.
Malik Nabers, the only thing I have to say is Malik Nabers just looks like he's going to be the rookie of the year. I mean, he is absolutely running away with it, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, if you're the Browns here, you have to look at your – I mean, just have to look at Deshaun Watson, I guess, and that offensive line, and really think to yourself, like, is this team playoff worthy yet? I don't think so if they're dropping a game like this. It's just too critical to lose to a team like the Giants if you are the Browns and you have that stout defense and you are trying to make a run for it. It's just – losses like this just can't happen.
Yeah, and then going into the next one, it's Eagles beating the Saints 15-12. Now, the Saints going into it were scoring 40-plus points a game. They go in versus the Eagles in New Orleans, and they fall 15-12. Obviously, now Devonta Smith potentially injured. So what does that look like for the wide receivers in terms of the Eagles, now not having A.J. Brown? And now potentially losing Devonta Smith.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if I'm a Saints fan, I'm not really too upset with this loss. I mean, it's a really close loss. You played really – I mean, they didn't play great, but they didn't play terrible. I mean, the offense obviously wasn't as electric, which, to be honest, I kind of figured it would be slowed down against this Philadelphia team. Yeah, I can't be too upset if you're a Saints fan with this loss. I mean, it is a very close game. You took the lead late. You just gave up, you know, what was it, like under a minute left. It's really not that bad of a loss. But if you're an Eagles fan, you're still kind of concerned because this offense has not gone rolling.
Yeah, going into the next one, the Vikings going in and destroying the Texans 34-7. Now, as fans of teams in the NFC North, are we nervous about the Vikings right now?
We'll get into this later, but the week 4, the Packers play the Vikings, and it just sucks right now because Malik Willis or Jordan Love, and if even then Jordan Love isn't even that like fully healthy, it's not like a fair assessment, but going off of week 3, specifically against the Texans, this Vikings team is surprising me, man. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. I didn't see anything about this Minnesota defense. I mean, I guess they're well coached, but like, this is where teams are going to die, man. I mean, the Texans put up 7 points. Last week, the Niners had trouble. I mean, this is an incredible Minnesota Vikings football team that not many people, I don't think myself, can say I didn't see them. And as an NFC North fan, as a team being in the NFC North, I am fully locked on eyes on them, man. And Sam Darnold looks amazing. I mean, dude is just playing amazing football right now.
I think going into it, both of us kind of predicted them to be around the 5-12 mark in terms of record. And they're starting out 3-0. So it's, as a Lions fan myself, I am not too concerned. Hopefully the Packers pull out a win next week against them. Fingers crossed. One of the only times I'll ever root for the Packers. But, yeah, I don't see them being too much of a threat going down the line in terms of the season. They obviously have a hot start, but we'll have to see how the season goes out for them. Next game, surprisingly, in my opinion, the Broncos beating the Buccaneers 26-7.
Dude, it's just another week of the NFL telling me I can't predict. I mean, I think the Broncos so confidently. I mean, it is just when I saw the Broncos go up 14-0, I was like, this is not happening. This is surely the Bucs are going to come back, right? I don't know what happened to Baker Mayfield this game and like just the offense in general. The defense was getting carved up, turnovers. It was just one of those games where you're like, yeah, we didn't play great. But it's like,
right,
I put on the Buccaneers so confidently, man. It's like, once again, they let me down in like such a game that I'm like, Bo Nix will throw a couple picks. No, doesn't happen. I mean, yeah, I don't really know if you can take too much away if you're a Bucs fan. Just didn't play well at all.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think you can't really take too much away from this game. Baker Mayfield just had an off game. In terms of looking forward, I don't see any concern for the Bucs. Obviously, Mike Evans was kind of slow the past couple of weeks. Chris Godwin's kind of gotten most of the touches. But, I mean, I'm not too concerned in terms of the Bucs going forward. I think this was just a off game, and it happened to have been at home. So we'll have to see how it goes forward. But now going into your team, the Packers beating the Titans 30-14. I think Will Levis, now that Bryce Young's benched, I think Will Levis has the crown for the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, honestly, going into this week, I didn't really know who was going to win this game. Being completely honest, I knew the Packers defense was really good, better than the Titans. I just didn't know who would win in the trenches because this Titans defensive line is stout. I mean, there's nothing really to, you know, walk over that. But the Packers just proved me, you know, completely different. Just completely, they proved me wrong. And Willis showed out. The run game was fine. I mean, the defense, let's talk about that. 8 sacks, 2 turnovers, 1 interception. Jair with the pick 6. As you said, Will Levis. I mean, the guy's a turnover machine. I mean, I don't know if
I'm surprised it wasn't behind the back.
Titans offensive line is terrible, let me tell you, watching that game. I mean, the Packers were getting pressure almost every single snap. But yeah, I mean, this is a good 2-0 for the Packers right now without Jordan Love. Like, we didn't know what we would expect with Malik Willis being traded. I mean, the guy did have some turnovers in Tennessee, so we didn't really know what to expect. And he's doing his thing. I mean, the Packers are doing their thing right now. And like I said,
he beats his former team.
Yeah. No, yeah. Next week will be such an interesting test, whether it's Willis or Love playing. But yeah, this was a good win. I would say 30 points, definitely a good win for the Pack.
Yeah. Going into the next game, Colts versus Bears. Colts pull out the win. 21-16. If Caleb Williams can have 3 seconds in the pocket, I think they win.
If they could get a head coach, man, if the Bears, I mean, listen, my dad called me before this game. And he's like, the Bears are going to win. No, like so easily. They should win this game easily. They always manage to find a way. Let me tell you, I was watching this by like a play by play and they were on the Indy 1. They run the ball 3 times. It's 4th and goal. Surely they'll just do like a tush push. They do like an outside pitch to DeAndre Swift for -11 yards. Dude, if you're the offensive coordinator, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, Caleb Williams had a bad pick in this game, but he's thrown for 363 and you're putting up 16 points. There's a problem. Yeah. It's not even him. I mean, if you're the defense for the Chicago Bears, what do you do? Because you're playing your hearts out and your offense can't get it going. So when do you say enough is enough with this? You know, you're done. I don't know. It's just coming to the time where it's like they have a 3-game stretch here before their bye week where it's like if things get pretty bad, they go 0-3 or 1-2, it could get pretty hot over there for Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it's Eberflus that's really calling the plays. I think it's more of the offensive coordinator. I think the offensive coordinator over there, I think, is on the hot seat couple of really bad games. I mean, their only win this year has been because of their defense and special teams. It wasn't even because of their offense. Yeah. So I think it's on the offensive coordinator. I think it's just the entire camp over there in Chicago is not doing so hot, if you would say. They are really showing why they are the Bears.
Exactly. I mean, the reason why I laugh is just because it just seems like the same story every single year for them. I mean, time and time again, you're talking about the same stuff. Defense is great. Offense can't get it going. You know, just need a coach in there to really change some things up. But, yeah, going into our next game, after talking about the Chicago Bears, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers going against the Los Angeles Chargers. And this one, to me, was interesting just because I knew it was going to be low scoring. It was going to be a very either one or the other kind of game. Whoever, like, anybody could really win this one. But Justin Herbert, injured. He didn't play great. Justin Fields, though, he's been looking solid, and he led the Steelers to a win today, and they're 3-0.
Yeah, and I think when we predicted this game last week, I think we were saying it was whoever's going to make that first defensive stop. And it pretty much was that in terms of Herbert not really playing good. He was just – it was defensive stop after defensive stop for the Steelers. And like you said, Justin Fields – put up great numbers and brought the Steelers a win. I think even when Russell Wilson gets healthy, I think there's no debate. I think you still start Justin Fields. He's been looking a lot better than Russell Wilson probably even could. I have to agree with what Stephen A. Smith said earlier this year. Russell Wilson, you're a person 6 years ago, they would have said, yeah, Hall of Fame. Now you're fighting for a starting spot. So,
yeah. No, Justin Fields is making a really good case right now. Why to keep him?
Yeah. And then going into the next one is the Seahawks beating the Dolphins 24-3. Now, Seahawks are a good team, in my opinion. Obviously, they don't have – how should I put this? They didn't have Kenneth Walker in there. But then you had the Dolphins without Tua and without Mostert as well with an injury. So I think this is just a weird game, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, it is just one of those games where you're like, what are the Dolphins going to do without Tua? I mean, Skylar Thompson is not that guy. I don't know if he's ready yet. We'll see if they start Tyler Huntley next week. He just looks abysmal. Seahawks get a win here. That's just surprising because Dolphins don't have Tua. If the Dolphins had Tua, this may be a different game. Probably will. It's just, what can you really say, to be honest?
Yeah, and then the next game, the Panthers finally get a win. Let's go.
Whole different.
The Panthers beat the Raiders 36-22. The Panthers after 0-15 in a row, they finally win a game. Obviously they benched Bryce Young. Now I was talking to a couple people about this, and they were saying Bryce Young could be the next Baker Mayfield. In terms of getting benched after starting and then potentially traded to another team as a second string. And then he finds his home somewhere and really starts to pick up. And I was like, Bryce Young is dog water. I don't think he's the next Baker Mayfield in any means. I think this was a good move to bench Bryce Young. Obviously, comes out in a win against the Raiders. The Raiders kind of were an up-and-down team, in my opinion. but the Panthers come out with the win.
Yeah. I mean, I will speak on the Bryce Young situation. I don't think he'll be the next Baker in like Sam Darnold story. I think that it was a good benching just because the Panthers need something fresh. They need something to kind of restart. Andy Dalton came out and just fired on all cylinders. I mean, he had like four touchdowns. It was throwing dimes. I mean, he looked pretty good. Bryce Young, though, I don't think it's too soon. I think it's too soon to give up on him. I think if you do bench him for a few weeks, that's okay. But I do see him coming back into this Panthers lineup soon. Definitely by the end of the season, we'll see him. But just needing some time off maybe is what he needs. And people will say, yeah, the Panthers situation isn't that great. But in my opinion, if you're a star, you're gonna like show out. You're going to be able to show some skills, show your capabilities. But he hasn't shown any of that. And that's not great. But I think it's too soon to cut him off or trade him or, you know, look at possibilities. So.
Yeah, I can agree with that. The next game, aka I like to call it the injury game. The Rams beat the 49ers 27-24. Injuries have been plaguing both sides of the spectrum on this team. Obviously, Rams not having Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. The 49ers not having Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and Christian McCaffrey. So, do we think, let me ask you this, both of them are NFC West teams. Do we think that this game alone can determine the NFC West? Or do we think the Seahawks potentially win the NFC West now?
No, I still see the Niners coming out on top. Injuries or not, I mean, I think they are the strongest team. But these games are so interesting because NFC West games go either way. I mean, it's never like solidified this team's going to win. Maybe unless it's against Cardinals. But like for the most part, it really isn't one-sided. And I was surprised to see that the Rams came back because when I checked the score, it was like the Niners were up like by three scores. And I mean, Matthew Stafford and the Rams fought hard, came back with, I think it was like under a minute to drive the ball down the field. Kick the game.
Yeah, I think it was 45 seconds left.
Yeah, I mean, this just shows resilience from McVay and Matthew Stafford and how well coached they are and, you know, what this team is about. Like I said, the Niners, they aren't the same team. Injuries, too, is not helping. So we will see some losses like this from the Niners. And I don't know, to be honest, with the West, now that you bring it up, who's going to win it. I mean, I say the Niners still, but you never know.
Yeah, I think it ultimately comes down to whenever the 49ers get these players back from injury. Who knows if Christian McCaffrey is coming back this season or not. They originally said 3 to 4 weeks, but now it's gone up. So who knows? I mean, could it be the Madden curse that hit him? I don't think so. Yeah, with Christian McCaffrey being the most recent Madden cover. But I the NFC West is a weird conference, in my opinion. I think with the Seahawks being 3-0, I think it depends on what happens next week for these teams and potentially probably the next 3 weeks could determine who wins the NFC West, even early in the season. Yeah. The next game is another NFC West team. The Lions beat the Cardinals 20-13. Now, me as a Lions fan, I was kind of split on this game. The offense didn't look so hot, but the defense came up with some very big stops. Obviously, the 4th-and-1 with the Kyler Murray run, obviously was then overturned. They originally called it a first down, and it was overturned because his knee was down. Great play by Carlton Davis to get him down. Limiting a bunch of their receivers from catching the ball. Great plays by the secondary. Kirby Joseph with the interception. The offense, we saw a bit of the trick plays come out. You saw the hook and ladder. Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown, with a toss to Jahmyr Gibbs for a touchdown. I think going forward for the Lions, I think the offense needs to kind of come into its own. I was telling Mike before this that I think within the next couple of weeks, we see the Lions potentially scoring 40 points. I think they have the talent. The offensive line has been looking really good. Jared Goff has finally been scrambling the ball when he needs to. He had the first down scramble to seal the game against the Cardinals. The offensive line is literally picking up players. Panay Sewell literally threw a guy. So it's looking good for the Lions. Obviously, a 2-1 record. Really, in my opinion, should be 3-0 if they played better week two. But I'm not too scared of the Lions going forward.
Yeah. I mean, you already touched on it. The offense just seems very slow right now. Jared Goff. I know injuries are a big thing for them right now. But, you know, as you said, maybe in a couple of weeks we see something, you know, turn it around and maybe play calling or scheme just kind of gets figured out. And, yeah, like you said, I'm not worried for the Lions. I think they're still a great team. They just got to put something together, and I'm sure they will do that. So going into the next game, speaking of offenses, is the Ravens and Cowboys. And this one was interesting because, in my opinion, I was like, yeah, this game could go any way.
Yeah.
And the Ravens went up quick, and they went up, I think it was like, what, 2 scores by halftime? I think it was like 21-6 or something like that. I was like, yeah, this
game 21-6.
Yeah, this game is over. And then the Cowboys start making their way back. But does that say a lot for the Ravens defense or the Cowboys offense?
Ravens defense. I think it says a lot for the Ravens defense.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens defense has been one of the top over the past couple of years. And never are you going to see me give Dak Prescott his flowers, ever. I hate that man. But I mean, yeah, I think it comes down to the Ravens defense. They were showing out strong in the first half, kind of came up short in the second half. But I think going back to the tweet I made about Dak Prescott, I still don't think he deserves his contract. I think going into it, I think me and you were both saying with the contract issues of the Cowboys, we saw that potentially they missed the playoffs because of the contract issues, kind of the morale of the team. Now the contracts are settled for everybody and they still can't win.
Yeah.
I think now we talk about the Cowboys not making the playoffs because of the team, not because of contracts, not because of the organization itself. I think it's because of the team. I think the offense is pretty much lackluster right now. And the defense, I mean, I saw a meme where it's like every single time Derrick Henry got handed the ball, it's someone screaming, "Help me." Because he was able to run it all over the place on the Cowboys, basically dribbling people with the stiff arm. So I think if the Cowboys continue to play like this going into like week 7, I want to say, I think we see a lot of issues coming up for the Cowboys. I think the NFC East, I think – normally it's the Cowboys and the Eagles taking it, but I mean, you never know. I see the Cowboys being second seed in the NFC East, but I think they just fall out of the playoffs.
Yeah. I was going to say the Ravens came in here with, I mean, first of all, it's a very much needed win for the Ravens. They cannot fall to 0-3, but they came in here with a game plan, and that game plan was to shut down CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he had 67 yards total, which is unlike CD, but it was just a structured game plan. I mean, they shut down the Dallas offense until the back end of the game. But yeah, this is a very interesting question for the Cowboys, because as you said, going forward, it really doesn't get easier. Yes, they play the Commanders. Yes, they play the Giants. But I believe they also play like the Texans and the Niners this season.
So they also play the Lions.
And the Lions. So it really does not get easier from here. And yeah, as you said, we'll see where they fall. But they may not be a playoff team this year. They really are not looking that great. But yeah, going into our next game, we got the Chiefs and the Falcons. Once again, controversy after controversy with this Chiefs team. I don't want to, you know, spend the entire segment on that, but I will say that was a very critical moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to ask how that's not pass interference. And also, too, what if the roles were flipped? What if that's Patrick Mahomes thrown to Kelsey? Is a flag being thrown there?
Yes.
Probably 10 out of 10 times, in my opinion.
I think they're throwing every single flag that they have in their pockets, their hats, their whistles.
I mean,
I think Taylor Swift has a flag up in the stands. Throw that.
I mean, I was rewatching it to really see if it's pass interference, and it really was. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
I think it's more pass interference than what happened against the Bengals. That was called pass interference.
I mean, yeah. I mean, despite that, though, the Falcons did get the ball back, and they didn't do anything with it. So, yes, the game wasn't totally on that, but that's such a big touchdown just to take away. And it's just like, or not touchdown, but a big call. But it's just, in my opinion, I hate talking about the Chiefs because they are a good football team, obviously. But without these, like, you know, sketchy situations or controversy situations, how do you really like analyze the Chiefs for what the Chiefs are? And that's what I'm so frustrated with the NFL is like Patrick Mahomes, no doubt one of the best QBs, Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends. But it's like you get into these situations, these critical moments, and it's like, dude, I'm tired of it.
Yeah, not to mention also, I like to call him the notorious false starter. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I saw at least four or five times that a false start or an illegal formation could have been called, and it wasn't. I think really the NFL needs to do better in terms of not kind of, I guess, dick riding the Chiefs. Because Patrick Mahomes does a check down, and it's like, oh my gosh, what a great play by Mahomes. It was a check down.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said last week, I think this is going to be a running meme for the entire time. Me just trash talking every quarterback in existence. Kirk Cousins can't win in primetime. This being a primetime game, Sunday Night Football, I think it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't just on the refs. It was also on the Falcons just not capitalizing when they needed to. Yeah. But, I mean, the Chiefs are a good team. I need to wash my mouth out with soap after saying that one. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, Patrick Mahomes, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And Kelce, I hate the Chiefs.
I mean, yeah, there's just not much to really say besides that. Against, I mean, the game was great otherwise, besides for that moment. But speaking of another not so great game, the Jaguars. I mean, Jaguars are 0-3 now. Trevor Lawrence looks mediocre, if not below average. I mean, they paid him at a top tier like salary. He was the highest paid at one point before Dak Prescott. And he has not shown that at all. I mean, he wasn't even reaching top 10 QBs, in my opinion. So getting slammed, I mean, absolutely just thrown out of the water. I think it was like 34-0, 34-3 at halftime or something like that. Josh Allen goes like 5 for 5. I mean, yeah, Jaguars just, they suck. There's not much to say there.
Yeah, it was 35-3 at halftime. But, I mean, going into the season, we kind of had questions. Okay, what is the bill? What are the Bills going to look like with Stephon Diggs leaving? And I think we touched on it last episode, too. The Bills have been looking pretty good. Obviously, now, what, 3-0? And I think the Bills are a team to contend in the AFC right now. The Jaguars, I mean, we talked about this on the phone before even sitting down to record this episode. Like you touched on, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he had that big contract. Do we think – actually, no, I'm not even going to ask that question because I think it's a stupid question that I would have asked. I was going to be like, what, the big contracts, they start playing, like, horribly? But
I was going to say – in the game, too, the one pick that T-Law had, he had a wide-open Brian Thomas, and he throws it way over his head and just sails in the backfield. It was like, to DeMar Hamlin, it was like a gift. Just like, dude, it wasn't even close. And, like, he's done that so many times already where he's like, you know, there's a guy in the flat, and he's oversailing it, or, you know, he's just overthrowing, missing. I mean, he's not his contract worthy. I mean, he really isn't. But I want to touch on the Bills for a quick second because time and time again, Josh Allen has proven me wrong. I mean, I know he's a good QB, but I didn't have faith in him this season at all with losing his, you know, Stephon Diggs, his wide receiver one, having a new wide receiver core. But he's throwing some good balls. I mean, he really is after watching that game.
Yeah, I think it just is a testament to him as a player. Like I always say, one man does not change the entire team. But obviously it was a key piece to lose in Stephon Diggs. But I think it's just a testament on how good of a quarterback Josh Allen is and how he has been over his entire career, even before Stephon Diggs went on to the Bills when he was back on the Vikings. I think it's just a testament to how he is as a quarterback and how his offense just kind of flows. Their offense flows. I will say that, both run game and pass game. The Jaguars are just kind of touch on that. I mean, it's not just Trevor Lawrence. ETN. It's pretty much everybody on that entire roster that's just not doing so good.
I mean, Doug Peterson, I know we've talked about this before, but he's definitely on the hot seat. He's 0-3. Yeah. I mean, before last season – I think they were 9-3 and they finished 9-8, or they were 8-3. I know they beat the Panthers, but finished 9-8 and they just missed out on the playoffs. And then coming into the season, they're 0-3. Their only win was against the Panthers last season right now in a stretch of,
And it was a close game too. It wasn't a blowout against the Panthers.
Yeah. So he's definitely on the hot seat. I mean, not looking good right now for the Jags. They just don't have an identity. And we've been saying this. I mean, it's a weird team.
Yeah, and I will say it's definitely T-Law is not contract worthy of what his contract is. And then going into the other Monday night football game, surprisingly, two Monday night football games, the Commanders squeak out a win against the Bengals. I think in terms of the Bengals, you got to kind of look at everything. It's not looking good for them. Obviously now starting out 0-3. I sent you that meme on TikTok where it was spinning a wheel until a team that can beat the Bengals, and it was the Chiefs and then the Patriots. And that's two teams that's already beaten them this year, and now you add the Commanders. You have two of the teams that we were like, they are not going to do anything this year, beat the Bengals. Even now with, I mean, Joe Burrow healthy. And Jamar Chase, I think it's a bust for me right now in terms of the Bengals. Starting out on 3, their schedule is not going to get easier. So
the Bengals, this game to me really showed how much they're hurting on defense. They're not the same defense as obviously last season, as they lost like Awuzie and a few other players.
Reader.
Trey Hendrickson. I mean, you haven't heard his name till he got a sack late in the game. But yeah, the Bengals, this game just showed to me like they're hurting. They're not the same Bengals team. They're not as physical as they once were. And they may have just missed their train. I mean, they may have just missed that window to be in the conversation of, hey, is this team playoff worthy? They may have just missed the window completely. You know, there's teams like the Chiefs where you're like, if they don't, I mean, they're going to win the division, but like, you know, what seed are they going to get? You know, each year they're going to be in the conversation, but it's like the Bengals are not even in the conversation and they just may have missed the window. And for me, on the flip side, I was going to say the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, phenomenal. 21 of 23, only missed 2 throws, had 1 bad one. But other than that, I mean, he looked pretty good. And
watch him get a perfect passer rating like Kyler Murray when he had 4 incompletions.
I mean, Jaden Daniels, in the past couple of weeks, we saw like what he could be. But this game showed me like what he can be. Like, he may have just flipped a script. I mean, he looked pretty good. So even though the Commanders, not the best team, not the best defense, but Jaden Daniels, he might be something special.
Yeah, so that does it for our week 3 recap. And now we are going to predict the games for week 4. Starting out with the Cowboys versus the Giants. I think it's a must win for the Giants, but I think the Cowboys take it.
Yeah, I'm going Cowboys here. I don't really see how this Giant defense can stop Dak Prescott and company. Although the Giants defense has been playing tough, I do like Dak Prescott still because Giants offense still isn't that impressive yet. But yeah, Cowboys should win this one.
Next one is the Bengals taking on the Panthers. This is a must win for the Bengals. I'll take the Bengals.
Man, part of me really wants to take the Panthers here after looking at Andy Dalton. But yeah, I think this is a must win for the Bengals. I think Bengals defense is a little bit better than the Raiders. So I'll take the Bengals for that reason.
Next one is the Saints versus the Falcons. I think the Saints take this. I think they've just been looking too good, obviously having up and down game last week. But I think the Saints take this.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Saints get back on track. I think they win this one.
Yeah, the next one, Jaguars taking on the Texans.
Yeah, there's nothing you could really say to back the Jaguars right now. I'm taking the Texans too.
Next one, it's an interesting one. Broncos versus the Jets. I'll take Broncos.
Take the Jets, I guess. I mean, I still don't like Bo Nix. I don't know what it is about him, but I still think he's a turnover machine. Just had a lucky week last week. Give me the Jets.
Next one, Vikings versus Packers.
This isn't fair just because we don't know the status on Love. But give me the Vikings. Even as a Packers fan, it hurts to say. It'll be a close game. If the Packers win, I can come back on here next week and be called all the names by you. But, yeah, give me the Vikings.
I'll take Packers.
Which is fair. I mean, Minnesota usually does take the game in Lambeau like past couple of years. I don't know what it is, but
it is in Lambeau. So
status on Love depends. If Love is playing, give me the Packers. If he's not, give me the Vikings.
Okay. Next one, Steelers versus the Colts. Give me the Steelers.
This game is settled. You know, hey Siri, heads or tails, right? So, I mean, I'll take the Colts, I guess, just to, you know, differentiate.
Next one is the Rams versus Da Bears.
I'll let you go first.
Give me the Rams because I think the Rams defensive line can definitely beat the Bears offensive line because they are just lost. I mean, they're falling to the ground for a loss of 12. Give me the Rams.
I'll take the Bears here. This is just a much-needed win for Eberflus and Shane Waldron. So give me the Bears.
Next one. This is actually going to be a pretty good one, in my opinion. Eagles versus the Bucks. I think with the injuries for the Eagles, I have to go with the Bucks. But seeing as how the Bucks played this past week, I think this is a heads or tails kind of game. So, hey, Siri, heads or tails? Tails, give me the Bucks.
I'll agree with you on the Bucks. I think they rebound here, win a close game, 20-17 or so.
Next one, Patriots versus the 49ers.
Niners. Yeah.
Commanders versus Cardinals.
Ooh, this one's interesting.
Give me the... It's in Arizona. Give me the Commanders.
I was going to say, yeah, I like the Commanders too.
Next one. Chiefs versus Chargers.
Chiefs. No doubt. Too many injuries.
Next one.
Charger side.
Yep. Next one. Browns taking on the Raiders.
Do I have faith in Deshaun Watson? I mean, right? Give me the Browns. I mean, they got to win this game.
I have faith in the Browns defense. I'm not just saying that because I have them on my fantasy team. Give me the Browns. Next one. I think this is a good game. This next one.
Yeah.
Bills versus the Ravens. Give me the Bills.
Give me the Bills too. I mean, haven't given me a reason not to take them.
Next one. Titans versus Dolphins. I think Will Levis throws for 4 interceptions. For 78 yards, a total of 218 yards because the rest of them are on interceptions. I think he's going to try to shovel pass to whoever the hell their running back is. He's going to throw it over his head, and somehow it's going to land in a safety's hands. Don't know how, but it's going to. Give me the Dolphins.
Oh, come on, man. I mean, Dolphins without a quarterback. Come on, Will Levis, pull through for me. I'm taking the Titans here. Please don't make it the Will Levis show for the wrong reasons.
Next up is Monday Night Football. Seahawks traveling to Detroit to face off against the Lions. Lions having a couple injuries that could set them back. Obviously, Alex Anzalone out with a concussion. Brian Branch on concussion protocol. You have Derek Barnes, who was carted off on the field against Arizona. And Sam Laporta having an ankle strain. But. I think we see more improvements on the Lions defense. Obviously, having DJ Reader in the lineup, and then that defensive line for the Lions has been really good this year, stopping the run. Give me the Lions by 3. I think the offense for the Lions needs to kind of step it up. I think we see that this next week. I think St. Brown has said he's pissed off on how they're not winning by a lot. I think Jared Goff has been showing frustration this year so far. Normally he's not the type of player to show that frustration, but I think this is a much needed win for the Lions, seeing as how the past 2 years they've lost to Seattle at home. But I think the Lions pull it out by three. I think the Seahawks not having Kenneth Walker going into this game again, I think could hinder them a little bit. And I think the matchup between Carlton Davis and DK Metcalf and then Terrion Arnold and Smith Ajigba could be a really good matchup.
Yeah, you said it for me. Give me the Seahawks just because the past 2 years they've had their number. Maybe script will change, but just for that reason, I just have faith in Seattle pulling through again, which would be tragic.
To be fair, the last year they could have won if they actually didn't stand there for 20 seconds to let the clock run down and kick a field goal. They were on the 16-yard line first and 10, and they just stood there, called a timeout with like 4 seconds left. They could have made – there was like 30 seconds left on the clock. They could have ran a couple plays, maybe scored a touchdown and won right there.
So, yeah, give me the Seahawks. That's my pick.
And the Lions defense, in my opinion, is better than the past 2 years. I think stats-wise it shows.
It might be. It is. But at the end of the day, it's who scores more points, right? And the Seahawks have done that for the last 2 years. So with that being said, thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Gridiron Podcast. Once again, my name is Michael.
I'm Nick.
And stay tuned, guys, for the YouTube Shorts and TikTok that will be coming out. You know how school can be. This week is a rough one for me. So, you know, I'll be working hard as soon as all my exams are through. But, yeah, stay tuned for that by the end of this week. That'll definitely be coming out. And, yeah, if you guys are new, please do subscribe. Leave a thumbs up. And also in the comment section, give us your thoughts, or maybe we're wrong and you have a whole different opinion on a game. Let us know in the comments, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Yeah, and also stay tuned to Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That'll be coming out episode 7. So, yeah, stay tuned to that. Peace out, guys.